Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Today's conversation will focus on considerations when it comes to commodities investing. We will spend some time highlighting the recent publication from the UBS Chief Investment Office on this very topic, the title Investing in Commodities from Investment Rationale to Portfolio Reality. This publication, by the way, now available for you up on UBS.com/CIO. Though joining me here at the 1285 podcast studio in New York, glad to welcome his first appearance here on Top of the Morning from the UBS Chief Investment Office Asset Allocation Strategist, Ian Spencer. With that, Ian, great to be at the table with you. Thank you for dropping by.
Great to be here.
Ian, I know you were the lead author of this publication, again, the title Investing in Commodities from Investment Rationale to Portfolio Reality. Let's provide some highlights for our listeners, perhaps beginning with the very basics. What role do commodities typically play in a diversified investment portfolio?
Sure. Yeah. So I think you said the word diversified right up front. And in our estimation, most investors, maybe outside of those who have a very specific price view, are considering a commodities allocation in large part because of the potential to provide diversification. But I think the term diversification can at times obscure what qualities investors are truly looking for. So in the paper that we published, we try to break it down into more specifics. So maybe if I can use an example, I think 2022 is a perfect storm of the qualities people are looking for when they invest in commodities. So as a reminder, 2022, you had S&P 500 down 18% or so, U.S. ag down in the low teens percentage terms, really a historically bad year for investors with anything close to a 60-40 type portfolio. In addition, a lot of these declines were spurred by high and rising inflation, which is another reason investors commonly cite for wanting to hold commodities. Now, for investors that did hold commodities during that time period, they were up significantly. So this was a huge portfolio benefit at a time when not much else was working. So this experience to us really exhibits the four investment rationales we analyze in the paper. One is what I would more call traditional diversification, basic correlation metrics, stocks and bonds, things of that nature. Two is more inflation hedging. So in other words, when inflation is high and or rising, do commodities do well? Number three would be downside protection. So in other words, when stocks and bonds are down, again, do commodities do well? And the last one is return enhancement. So simply, can commodities enhance portfolio returns over time? So we think these four rationales represent the most commonly cited reasons for investing in commodities. Now, all of these rationales scored really high marks in the 2022 example I just gave, but you know, a little bit of a spoiler is that the 2022 experience is maybe not a common one. So the paper really goes into looking at these over longer horizons. And you know, what we've kind of come up with is the case for traditional diversification is pretty strong over time. Commodities tend to be relatively diversifying and have low correlations to stocks and bonds. Another positive rationale is inflation hedging. So commodities are a little imperfect in this regard, but when we compare their ability to hedge against inflation to other assets, they actually score quite well. The case for downside protection and return enhancement is a little more mixed and situational over time. And so where we come out on these is that while these could support maybe tactical allocations from time to time, the data in our estimation over long periods wouldn't necessarily support a structural allocation on these criteria alone.
Investor demand for commodities, Ian, multi-year high. You do cite that within the publication. So curious as to the factors that are driving this demand we're seeing.
Of course, yeah. I think the obvious answer is that anytime you have an asset appreciate in price the way gold did in 2025 and even at the beginning of this year as well, and then similarly how oil has been, you know, one of the best performing assets year to date, you're going to get a lot of questions from investors about assets like that. Now, normally in our seat, we typically need to apply a healthy dose of skepticism if investor interest is simply driven by rising prices or fear of missing out. That often doesn't really bode well for future returns. But I don't think that tells the full story here. So instead, I'd also point out a few of the structural issues that are driving demand. So one would be geopolitical, in that, you know, many nations are kind of prioritizing energy and resource security. Two would be related. Artificial intelligence and the infrastructure needed to support compute is also driving a lot of energy and metals demand. And number three is that, you know, inflation, say, relative to the post-financial crisis decade, has had a much more persistent role in our investment dialogue. And I think purchasing power preservation is more top of mind for investors. So those are kind of three points. But if I could really focus on one, I think the fourth point here is that if you look at correlations between stocks and bonds since 2020, they're markedly higher than the past 20 years. To maybe go a little deeper on this, if you think about that decade after the global financial crisis, say March 2009 to through 2019, it was an absolutely incredible time to own a simple 60-40 of stocks and bonds. Stocks and bonds were negatively correlated. So investors got a decent amount of embedded diversification in their relatively simple portfolio. And of course, this is all happening at a, you know, a great bull market for risk assets. So in hindsight, it was a great time to, you know, issue diversification. You didn't Sure. really need it in portfolios. It was it didn't add a lot of benefit. But post 2020 and really post COVID, that dynamic has shifted significantly. So if you think about this conceptually, if the correlation between stocks and bonds goes up, the marginal benefit of adding another diversifying asset like commodities, doesn't have to be, but like commodities, also goes up. So in other words, I think the demand that we're seeing is kind of a reflection of an amalgamation of some of the dynamics I mentioned earlier, especially inflation. Geopolitics obviously plays a role. You know, flowing through to an environment, an investment environment where there's less of a free lunch, if you will, for, you know, owning the basics like stocks and bonds and just rebalancing between those. And then I think maybe the last point I'll just kind of make here, because we do talk about it in the paper, is that prior to 2000, we have a lot of history where stocks and bonds were positively correlated. And those environments have tended to be better return environments for commodities. That so far has proven true in this environment that we're in today as well.
Mindful that we are in a very fluid geopolitical environment, what is CIO's view on the asset class? How should investors be thinking about this today?
Yeah. And so while the paper that we wrote is primarily focused on kind of structural long-term considerations, we do have a more constructive tactical, you know, near-term perspective. We're currently positive on broad commodities exposure. So generally what that means is twofold. One, for investors that have a commodities in portfolio in their portfolios, we generally think it's an attractive time to possibly be overweight that. For those that have no position and are considering one, this we think it's an attractive time to consider an allocation. And the second part of that is rather than individually trying to time a position in oil or gold or another specific commodity, we think currently this is a good environment for investors to benefit from broadening to a more diversified exposure. And within that, I will say that we do have a preference for actively managed approaches, especially those with the ability to rotate exposure between commodities and kind of manage some of the nuances of futures investing.
Getting into the portfolio reality as far as application, in terms of allocation, how should investors go about determining the appropriate size and how is an allocation to commodities typically funded?
Yeah, so this is probably the most nuanced question because I think the short answer is it depends. Like most, you know, most portfolio questions like this, and it's got to be in the context of the investor's objectives. But maybe to speak in broad terms, I would say the appropriate size of a commodities allocation in portfolio, it depends on to what extent the investor desires those positive characteristics I talked about earlier, such as diversification and inflation sensitivity, balanced with their ability to accept periods of underperformance. So to kind of give some more examples, in other words, in general, an investor that desires, you know, long-term diversification is concerned about future real purchasing power, is either benchmark agnostic or willing to take tracking risk, that investor might allocate more to commodities than one whose primary goal is to simply beat or keep up with the S&P 500 year over year. And so in the paper, we show some exhibits on optimal allocations over time. And we kind of end up making the conclusion that a low to mid-single-digit allocation is probably a fair starting point for many investors with a 60-40-like profile. but I wouldn't call that a one-size-fits-all solution. And maybe just to go a little bit deeper on that trade-off, I think this is a really important point, is the behavioral aspect of investing. You know, we know that at some point in the future, commodities will underperform 60-40. It happens quite often. And so where we come out on this is we don't want the allocation to commodities to be so large that this experience of underperformance is so painful that it causes investors to kind of give up on the allocation and never realize some of those long-term diversification benefits. So that's kind of a limiting factor to the upper end of that band. And I think you asked also, you know, how to fund a commodities right. allocation. Where, you know, where should you, what should you be selling to buy commodities? Our default here is to try to be risk neutral. So what that means is, absent a corresponding view of we want to be pro-risk or we want to de-risk, a commodities position shouldn't meaningfully alter the expected volatility of a given portfolio. We also have a desire to keep things simple. So, you know, where we wound up here is that roughly one-third from equities, two-third from bonds, assuming a 60-40 portfolio, is a good starting point and doesn't meaningfully impact portfolio vol. But I'd also note some nuances here in that, you know, investors that are more concerned about equity drawdowns, maybe more concerned about valuations, more concerned about the bull market that we've been in, they might want to shift funding more from equities. And I think it's also totally fair for those investors that are a little bit more concerned about inflation, more concerned about rising rates, they might want to fund more from bonds. I think those are very kind of reasonable alterations to our base case funding preferences.
From the sounds of it, definitely worthwhile to have a conversation with one's financial advisor to make the correct determination when it comes to a commodities allocation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any final thoughts or takeaways you would like to share with our listening audience?
There's a lot more nuance to this conversation than we've been able to get in today. I think we hit some of the high points, but would encourage you to talk to your advisor, to maybe read the paper. There are some interesting nuggets in there that will be beneficial as well.
Well, the conversation will continue. Ian, great to have you here at the table today. Thank you for joining our listeners, our clients here on Top of the Morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.